Hi, and welcome to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. Have you seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ yet? It's been in cinemas for nearly 6 weeks, but it mightn't have come to your town yet. As we celebrate Easter, it seems fitting to reflect on the movie, to find out what Easter is really all about, and to talk to some people who've been profoundly impacted by the Easter message. Easter is in many ways a period full of contradictions. Good Friday is a day of deep mourning, of pain, of sacrifice, of reflection. Whilst Easter Sunday is a day of triumph, of rejoicing, a resounding answer to the question raised by the events of Good Friday. Without Easter, there would be no Christianity. The empty cross is the pivotal moment of faith. You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. One of the criticisms directed at Mel Gibson's The Passion is the amount of violence depicted in the film. In fact, the violence led it to be rated MA in Australia and R over 17 in the US. Yes, the scourging, which is a severe form of flogging, is extremely distressing. Yes, watching Jesus stumble and fall, whilst trying to carry a massive wooden cross up roads and paths when his entire body is raw from the aforementioned flogging, was heart-wrenching. Yes, watching him spat at, nailed onto and thrown around on that cross led me to inwardly weep. I was watching my Lord Jesus endure suffering beyond what humans could possibly endure. Was it essential? Maybe not. But it certainly brought me to an entirely new understanding of the pain, the humiliation, the extraordinary sacrifice that Jesus endured, willingly, knowingly, and clearly painfully, for me and for you. One message of the cross is Jesus' obedience to his heavenly Father. At any point, Jesus could have pulled the plug. But he saw his calling through to the bitter end, to death on the cross. Thankfully, the story doesn't in fact end there. We know that Jesus came back to life, renewed and triumphant, and returned to heaven to be with God the Father. But for many women, it is difficult to relate to a heavenly Father when they've experienced broken, damaged, pain-filled relationships with their earthly fathers. How can they pray to a Father in heaven who claims to love them and be concerned about their every need when they've only experienced abuse and hardship from their human fathers? This was an issue very real to Corrine Whelan.
I lived in fear of my father. I never knew if and when I was going to be hurt again. My mother insisted that he loved me, but I never understood his kind of love.
So does that mean you grew up thinking that you were unlovable?
Yes, very much so. And I also felt that everything was my fault. If something went wrong, it was my fault. I did something wrong or I didn't do something that I was supposed to do, but I had no idea what these things were.
So you move into adulthood carrying this sense of being unlovable, which therefore must impact on your relationship with your spouse and obviously to learning to be loved by God.
Yes, very much. I'll never forget when my husband and I first started dating, he would try to cuddle me and I'd either hit him or I'd walk straight under his arms, and that left him very confused. But he was persistent, which was wonderful, and today we're still married, so that's quite a few years later. And with him showing his love for me and other people showing their love for me, I slowly learnt that I was lovable.
As we reflect on Easter, the message of the cross is very much one of forgiveness and pointing us to the love, the extraordinary love that God the Father had, that he actually let his son die on the cross for us and then led him to rise to a new life, which is absolutely mind-boggling, really, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
So when you look at that picture, was that a difficult picture for you to work through, to reconcile?
That was a major growth point for me, because when you read the story of Christ's crucifixion, you always see pictures or imagine that he wasn't totally naked, and it wasn't until the point when it clicked for me that, hey, he was stripped bare, he was beaten more than anyone has ever been beaten before. It wasn't until I stopped and thought about that that I realised that Jesus really understood where I had been, where I was coming from, And I found with my relationship that it was more with Jesus. I could relate to him, but I couldn't relate to God. And it was over time that I learnt to transfer that love for Jesus to God, because I learnt that, you know, Jesus is a spitting image of his dad, and his dad's only got good planned for us.
So that was a very important process.
Oh yeah, it took a long time, but it was very important.
And did that then help you see your father with new eyes?
It did help me understand that there were reasons for why Dad acted the way Dad did. And I'll never understand them fully or know them fully. But slowly I learnt that God's acceptance for me was just as real for my father.
Have you learnt to forgive your father because of the love that God has for you?
I had to practice that one. To forgive meant I had to say the words, but I didn't feel it in the heart. And slowly saying the words over and over meant it became a process where I could experience it from the heart. So I still struggle with it at times, but yeah. I'll never love him perfectly like God loves, but I do have love there for my father.
You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. Forgiveness is a key message of Easter, as Jan Laddams found.
I grew up in what was, in some ways, a pretty typical non-Christian Aussie family. Most of the time we got on well with each other, but now and again something would happen that would cause a lot of angst. When I was 14, I did something that so deeply upset my dad, he couldn't bring himself to have anything to do with me on more than a superficial level for the following 20 years. At the time that I took the highly offensive action, I had no idea I was going to create the reaction I did. Dad would avoid being in the same room with me. He had minimal interaction with me. He took no interest in anything I did at school. He did attend my graduation from uni, but he forbade my family from attending my wedding. Initially, I was very confused and upset, especially knowing that there didn't seem to be anything I could do to get back into Dad's good books. Eventually, Dad and I coexisted, but I never expected him to interact with me. Occasionally he would speak to me, but we had no relationship, and I had become rebellious and bitter. I was 32 when I became a Christian. I experienced forgiveness for all my sins, every single one of them. I learnt that if I was forgiven, then I must also forgive. I also learnt that no matter how bad my sins were, my Father in heaven would forgive me if I asked him. Not only that, my Father in heaven would never leave me or forsake me. And even better, my Father in heaven is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I made a major decision. I decided to take all the pressure off my earthly father. Instead of expecting him to be a father to me, I would be a friend to him. The first thing I did was went to see him. With the help of Jesus, I knocked on his office door and waited for him to bid me entry. I walked up to his desk, looked him in the eye and told him, out of faith, that I loved him, despite what he might think. And I really meant it deep down in my heart. Of course, he was speechless, so I walked around to the other side of his desk, gave him a kiss on the cheek, and quietly left his office. The next thing I did was to make a conscious decision to develop a relationship with my Father in heaven, and that's something that will go on for the rest of my life. Thirdly, I began treating my earthly father like an older friend. Over the last 14 years, Dad has responded beautifully. I'm happy to say that I have a really good relationship with him now, something that could not have been possible without God's divine intervention. My dad doesn't know God on a personal level, yet, but I'm praying for him every day. In the meantime, even though we live a long way from each other, I relish the lovely phone conversations we have together. This is an area where God has worked a miracle in my life.
You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey, and I'll be back shortly.